We've been so blessed throughout this weekend, and my good friend, Pastor Eugene Sim from Southern California, is here. His wife Carol is in the back, and they have a little boy, Elijah, who's in the Sunday school right now. And Pastor Eugene, we go back like 18 years, and I'm not going to share so much because he doesn't have much time. And don't worry, you'll be out of here by 12, okay? So he was forewarned already about our schedule and all the packed stuff we have today. And he's a real man of God, and he's been serving at the same church for over 18 years. And he actually was my right-hand man in ministry, and he actually took over the ministry when I left to go be at the university. And so, you know, I'm just really blessed that him and his wife and child are able to come, and we look forward to seeing what God will unfold through these next year or so and us together. And so without further ado, let's welcome Pastor Eugene up.
Good morning, everybody. It's been a wonderful weekend, and just want to mention my observations of Solomon's Porch. As we experienced so far this morning, such holy moments, and there is a specialness to this group of people that are assembled in this room. And I know Pastor Sam hasn't asked me to say anything about it, but building project, whatever, God doesn't need your money. But as I was sitting there, I was saying to myself, Solomon's Porch, don't rob the world of the anointing and the blessing that you have in this place. For God has called you to send people to the nations. There is, just imagine the power and anointing that you could accomplish through this new building. The hundreds and thousands of people that can come through the doors and experience God in a powerful way. And you could be a part of that. You can participate in touching the world. You may think it's insignificant, the few dollars that you are willing or even unwilling or feel forced to share. But I would like you as a people to take pride in the blessing that God has given over you. Not pride in the sense the pride that God hates, but pride in ownership of an incredible opportunity. Don't be a thief. Don't rob the world of what SP can accomplish, because God has a plan for you, whether you like it or not, whether you're going to be involved or not. But you have an opportunity to be part of such of an incredible thing. Just think about it. Imagine God giving you that building and what God could do through that. And it's like Pastor Sam said, it's not a building. It's a ministry powerhouse, a center, a symbolic center of God's glory. And you are a part of that if you choose to do so. So, I'm jealous. I am extremely jealous because God has an anointing over Solomon's Porch. And just don't rob God just of what he could do in the world through you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Well, why am I so emotional? I don't know. But it's been a wonderful weekend. I'm so proud to be a part of this weekend, this anniversary service, and just appreciate Pastor Sam's leadership. And in fact, he didn't realize this, and neither did I, but he is the reason why my wife and I met. He introduced us to each other. And so I mentioned last weekend he has an anointing upon his life. So, thankful for that, I guess. Thankful to God for that. And also I have a lot of stories on him, so God has a way of keeping everybody humble and stuff like that. But I only have a few minutes with you, but I've saved the best for last for today, so that you might hear God's heart for you. Let's open to Genesis chapter 39. We're just going to use this as a baseboard of what I feel like the Lord wanting to reveal to some of you. Genesis 39, and I'll just give you the background of Joseph. Is Joseph's life, you know Joseph's life, he has a dream. God gives him a dream of him being elevated in positions of power and glory. In fact, his family is going to bow down before him. And his dream of being elevated and prosperous and successful and glorious and being a ruler over all turns quickly into a nightmare. And you know that his brothers didn't like him. In fact, they hated him. And then he has this dream of his family bowing down, and they try to kill him, sell him into slavery. And so I want you to understand, God gives him a dream. God gives him a dream that is prosperous. God gives him a dream of success. God gives him a dream. And so you would expect, if God gave you a dream, that you'd be looking forward to what's the next steps that's going to happen in your life, because you know how it's going to finish. But you look at Joseph's life, and it becomes such a nightmare. It becomes tragedy, it becomes difficulty, it becomes obstacles, and it gets worse and worse and worse. Listen to me. He gets a dream of success, and then the next steps of his life, it gets worse and worse and worse. His brothers sell him into slavery. They try to kill him. And throughout this whole process, and we'll examine this a little bit, I can imagine Joseph saying to himself, "What is going on? God, I thought you promised blessings for my life. You showed me the visions of my family bowing down, and here I am, almost being killed, thrown into prison, being accused of rape. It gets worse and worse, and people have forgotten about me." And I can imagine Joseph thinking to himself, "Why is this happening to me? What is going on? Why is it getting worse and worse and worse and worse? I thought, God, you had a special plan for my life. I thought you had something special. You showed me that." The Joseph story reminds us that life doesn't always go the way that we plan. For in fact, in Proverbs, it says, in his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. And I know for many of us, we have this promises of God's going to take care of me. God's going to take care of my family. God's going to bless me. And then our life seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. God, I thought I was going to be married by now. God, I thought I would have a job by now. God, I thought I would have children by now. I thought you loved me. I thought you blessed me. And as life continues to get worse and worse and worse, I want you to read from the scriptures in chapter 39 of God's heart for Joseph in the midst of all that he was going through. In verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord, if you were here on Saturday, we talked about the name of God, and it says Yahweh, God's personal name, not the Lord, some abstract ruler. Yahweh, personal Yahweh, was with Joseph, and he prospered and lived in the house of his Egyptian master. Verse 3, when his master saw that the Lord, Yahweh, was with him. In this chapter alone, chapter 39, it is mentioned 4 times that Yahweh, the Lord, was with him. Turn to verse 21, a little bit before that, while Joseph was there in prison. What? The Lord was with him. And finally, in verse 23, the warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph. It is so easy for many of us to think that we receive the promises and our lives are getting worse and worse, getting more difficult, tragedies happening in our lives, that God is absent, that God is far, that God has forgotten about you. But the word of the Lord to Solomon's porch this morning is the Lord Yahweh is with you. Can I get an amen? Do not think that God is absent. I want you to understand something. God's silence does not mean his absence. God's silence doesn't mean his absence. And through the life of Joseph and through the things that he was going through, he reassured Joseph over and over again. And I'm here to speak to you to say the Lord is with you, even through your circumstances. Because when you're down to absolutely nothing, you must believe that God is up to something. When you're down to nothing, God is up to something. Billy Graham talks about a story of during the Great Depression in the 1930s in the United States, and how people were losing jobs and the economy was incredibly poor, and people were losing their homes, and in fact they were losing their kids, they're losing their wives and families and things like that. And in the context of ministering to people in that, he was walking down the street one day and he was walking past the church and there was a stone worker who was chiseling some stone and he was curious to see the process and what was going on. So he asked this stone worker, what are you doing? And so the stone worker was chiseling and chiseling and chiseling. And he said to young Billy Graham, you see up in the spire up there, and he pointed his direction, his gaze up to the heavens, and there's this on top of this huge steeple. He directed Billy Graham's vision to there. Do you see way up there, there's this hole. And so what I'm doing is I'm chiseling this stone down here so that it could fit up there. Oh, some of you are going to get this. I'm chiseling this stone down here so that it would fit up there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is doing something in the midst of the silence. He is chiseling you down here so that someday you would fit up there. That we must not be confused with God's silence, because in his silence he is not absent. For the Lord is with you. God is doing something with your life in the midst of the silence, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the desert. He is chiseling you down here so that you would fit up there. I want to transition to Job chapter 23, verse 10. Don't know if we have it on the screen, but I hope we do, guys, in the back. You don't have to turn to there, but it says that when he, God, has tested me, I will come forth as gold. It's up here. But he knows the way that I take, that when God has tested me, he will come forth as gold. And if you know anything about ancient culture and why they use the word gold, why is it that you're going to come forth as gold? It's because gold was the most precious jewel. It was the most precious metal. It was the most valuable. And some things in ancient society, what you have to understand, that it takes longer to refine gold than other metals. It takes longer to do that. In fact, it takes coarser material to refine gold. And in fact, it takes higher heat to refine gold. And for some of you, you're going through a process of refining, and it takes a higher heat. It takes a coarser substance, and it takes a longer period of time. But when you go through the trials, and when you go through the difficulty, and when you go through the pain, and when you go through the suffering, the Lord says, you're going to come forth as gold. You're going to come forth because you are valuable, and I'm going to refine you. I'm going to shape you. I'm going to mold you, and you're going to come forth, the Lord says, as valuable as gold. Somebody say amen. Amen. Do not think in God's silence that he is absent, because when you're down to nothing, God is up to something. Can I preach from Malachi 3 again? It must be a God thing, because y'all didn't know what I was going to talk about. Malachi 3, don't have to open there. You probably memorized it by now. But instead of verse 10, well, let's turn there, man. Easy to find. Last book of the Old Testament. Don't know if it's up here. But look at it in your own Bible, because it'll make more of an impact. Got 5 more minutes here. Verse 3, he will sit as a refiner. Somebody say sit. He will sit, meaning God will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He'll purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. In Ireland, there was a group of women doing a Bible study, and they were going through Malachi 3, and they wanted to find out some background of this. And so they actually visited a silversmith, and they asked him these questions. Is it true? Because the Bible in Malachi 3 says that a refiner will sit as a refiner to purify that silver. And the silversmith, that is absolutely correct. As silversmiths, we have to sit and steadily gaze our eyes fixed on the surface, because the time necessary to refine silver is so precious that if we go a little bit over, if we do it a little bit under, it will not be the way that it needs to be. In fact, if we don't sit and watch the silver, and time exceeds it while we're not watching, the silver will be damaged. And so it is true that we have to sit and keep our eyes on the silver until it is perfect, because if it goes too long, it will be damaged. And in that moment, the ladies realize that the refiner constantly has his eyes on silver or gold. And the word of the Lord to us this morning is the refiner, God himself, has his eyes gazed and fixed upon you, because you will come forth as gold. And his eyes are always on you. Many of us feel like God's eyes are on us because he wants to catch us and punish us and catch us in our sin and declare justice upon our lives. He wants to catch us like a policeman catches someone violating a law. But the truth of the matter is the Lord has his eyes gazed and fixed upon you because he wants to make sure that you are prepared and that you are refined and that you're being molded so that you will come forth as gold. Any parent will know that their eyes are gazed upon their children as they sleep, not because they want to condemn them or punish them, because their eyes are fixed on their child because how beautiful their children are to them. And the Lord has his eyes fixed upon you because he sees you as valuable, coming forth as gold. Isaiah 48:10 says this, I've refined you, but not as silver is refined. Rather, I've refined you in the furnace of suffering. And sometimes that furnace of refining is in the furnace of suffering. In God, sometimes through the silence, just realize God has not forgotten you. God's silence doesn't mean God's absence. Don't confuse that. Yesterday I talked about don't doubt in the dark what God has promised you in the light. Because I know there are many in this room that feels overwhelmed and burdened by the circumstances of your life. That the stresses of your life feels like you've been buried under a sand or dirt. That you're buried under the ground, so overwhelmed, and people are walking all over you. They're spitting on top of you. They're stepping on top of you. You can't even breathe. But the Lord's perspective is that you are not buried, but you are planted. That you are not buried under the ground, suffocating from the pressures of life, but that you are planted like a seed. The difference is that someone who's buried, there is no hope, but someone who is planted says, one day I will rise up again. There will be a time when it is my time to come up out of the ground and to blossom like a tree that is planted with streams of living water, saying, I am planted on the ground right now, but one day I will be back. Can I get an amen? The Lord hasn't buried you. He has planted you. He has planted you beneath the stress. He has planted you beneath the sickness. He has planted you beneath the pain. He's planted you beneath the worries. He planted you beneath the sorrow. God has planted you and not buried you. Because God is going to take you to the promised land. Do you believe that? But in order to go to it, you've got to go through it. Come on, somebody. In order to get to it, you've got to go through it. Because yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. In order to get to it, you're going to need to go through it. Some of us are praying for a breakthrough, but you're going to have to go through the break in your life. Come on, somebody. God is with you. He was with you in the hospital. He was with you through bankruptcy. He was with you through breakups. He was with you through devastation. He was with you. He didn't bring you this far to let you stay here, but he's going to take you all the way. Can I get an amen? God is bringing you through a process because you will get up, you will overcome, and you will rise above with wings like eagles. For you have God's power and his grace in his life. I've got two more minutes. But if you notice, the way God works is that he uses broken things. Until you are broken, God has a difficult time using you. He uses broken soil to produce crops. He uses broken clouds to produce the rain to give life. He uses broken grain, in fact, to give bread. And he uses broken bread to give strength. He uses a broken alabaster jar that gives forth perfume. Because the one thing that I know is the darker the night, the brighter the light. And God is shining his light upon SP. There's a story of a farmer who lost a mule, and he frantically was searching for this mule, for this donkey. And the donkey fell into a deep hole, and so he was so desperately to get his mule out of this hole. But the hole was so deep and so dark, and many days passed, and he couldn't figure out what to do. And this mule and this donkey just was suffering, and no food, and it was just suffering and suffering, suffering. And finally, the farmer made a decision over a long period of time that we're going to have to put this donkey to sleep. We're going to just have to bury this donkey alive and dispose of him. And so in the process, the farmer took his shovel and began to pile dirt upon the donkey, and the dirt would fall on the back of this donkey. And after a few scoops, he noticed something that the donkey was doing. That as the dirt was falling on the back of this donkey, the donkey began to shake it off. And the dirt began to fall to the ground. And he would put another shovel of dirt on the donkey's back. And every time the dirt would fall on the back of the donkey, he would just shake it off. I know you like that, you know, but I'm not going to do it anymore. You're just going to have to picture it in my mind. But I want you to go with me on this. I want you to go with me. As he began to shovel, and the dirt went on to the back of the donkey, he began to what? Shake it off. And he began to shake it off. And he began to shake it off. And finally, after many times and many piles of dirt, the donkey, who shook off all of the dirt, stepped out of the hole, stomped on the ground, and was set free. And I believe that many of us who are struggling, I want to encourage you this weekend. That's all I want to do. I just want to help somebody understand God's heart. Is that when trials and tribulations and difficulties and obstacles come your way, and the dirt gets piled over you, first of all, you're not being buried alive. You're being planted, because one day you will rise up out of the ground and you will overcome. And all you do is, when you realize that dirt is being overwhelming, the stresses of life is overwhelming, you need to remember my move. Shake it off. Come on, somebody. I don't have the courage. Come on, somebody. Let's give it up. I don't have the courage to ask you to do it with me. You can do it at home in your own room, but do that prophetically as you pray. Just say, Lord, I shake it off. I shake it off of my brother. I shake it off of my sister. I shake it off of my children. I shake it off, and I know that I am planted, and one day I will be victorious, because the Lord is with you. It's not something that Jesus said after he was about to leave this earth. Lo, I will be with you forever and to the ends of the earth. God said it to Joseph in Genesis from the beginning. Yahweh was with you. When you're down to nothing, God is up to something. God's silence doesn't mean his absence. Don't doubt in the dark what God has promised in the light. In order to go to it, you've got to go through it. If you want to be God's person, you've got to go through God's process. Can I get an amen? Because the truth of God's word is, the darker the night, the brighter the light. God is with you. May you be encouraged. May your spirits be lifted high. That no matter what, no matter through the darkness, the desert, the silence, God has a plan for Solomon's porch. God is with you. You may think that you're giving too much money. Oh, but God is with you. I like to pray and end in prayer and just end in a blessing as we close our service. Father, I pray that you begin to speak to those in this room. God, going through hardships, difficulties, even doubts, holding on to the things of this world, holding on to their finances and monies that isn't even theirs to begin with, because it comes from you. God, I pray a blessing over Solomon's porch. May you lift this group to the heights of the heavens as eagle soars above the skies. Lord, I pray for a blessing. May they be lifted up and encouraged under your wings. May your grace abound in their lives, and may your face shine upon them. You are an incredible God, greater than we will ever understand. And we declare the name Yahweh. We declare your name to the nations. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for having me. It's been a great weekend. I appreciate it so much.
I didn't know you got some soul, man. Dang. I thought I was in church in LA or something. What's up? Amen. Well, God bless you guys. Have a great time. I just forgot one very important reminder. Next Sunday, coming up, we're going to take an offering for the Vine. I forgot to mention that. They're also in a building fund. And, you know, if you give more money to the Vine than SP, praise God. Okay, and so you heard it from the leadership here. You know, it's all kingdom stuff, right? And so don't feel bad. We want to give graciously to them and their building fund. And they're actually in a bit more of a challenge than we are right now. And so let's be a blessing to them. As God has blessed you, you become a blessing to others. Amen? Why don't you tell someone next to you, give them a big love hug, and that sounded kind of weird. Just say hello. High five. God bless you guys. Have a great, great Sunday today. And please, let's really keep praying for our building, huh? Bless you guys. Thank you.